If you have not been with us for these last several weeks, we're in a series called Spiritual Warfare. This is our seventh in that lesson. And as we take a look at what God is doing, God is asking us to rise up and be the people He has called us to be. The Bible says we are going to bring His kingdom where? On earth. That's our prayer, isn't it? Jesus, how do we pray? Pray this way. And in that prayer, it's bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Everywhere we go, everything we do radiates and reflects and shines forth the glory of the Lord, His presence, His love. How many know we are living in a chaotic, confusing world where it's getting darker and darker, and fear is being spread in the land with chaos, and some people are wringing their hands saying, what's a mother to do? The reality is when the darkness gets darker, the light shines brighter. Amen. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. The light of Jesus shines brightest in the darkest places. There are people that need the Jesus you know, the Lord who is gripping your soul and conforming you into His image, into His likeness. People need to know that Jesus loves them, that He cares. There's a reason why we are teaching and learning about spiritual warfare. Because, church, we're called to be the army of God who goes up, does battle with, and on Jesus' behalf, defeats the devil and gets him out so people can come in to Jesus. So revival can happen. How many in this room, I want to know, are praying for revival? Then we have a part to play, a vital role to play. In cooperation with Him in His Spirit. How many have family members that need Jesus? I didn't see you punch each other. That's probably good. But we have family members who need Jesus, and grandkids and kids, and people down the block and on the cul-de-sac. And maybe all you do is go out and walk at night, or maybe you sit on your porch while they're walking and you greet them with a smile, and it's different than what happens in the world today. You go to Chicago and you don't know if you should go to Chicago. But it's that way no matter where you go. You turn on the news every single day, somebody is shot in Seattle or vicinity thereof. People are dying in the streets, and we're the ones who need to be here to help them find Jesus. This life is wonderful in Jesus to find peace and help. But it's more than our finding contentment, peace, and help. We are called to give Him away. So spiritual warfare. When you're born again, you grow to be like Jesus. The devil is an adversary, the adversary to your soul. The devil is real and wants to stop your growth in Jesus Christ. Let's ask questions. Marilyn, fantastic sharing this morning. How many are thankful she overcame the devil who wanted to keep her from coming to church? That is a very real conflict. Have you ever had in your heart, man, I am so hungry for the Lord, I want to grow, and all of a sudden, the car falls apart, the cupboard door falls off, you stub your toe, and your toe grows like this, and it feels like that anyway, or something happens, or you're just freshly dedicated, I'm going to share Jesus with my family, and somebody comes up and rips your head off, and you're discouraged, and you don't want to do that anymore, or you want to get up and go to church, man, I want to hear this series, and all of a sudden, I just don't feel well. I mean, it happens. No condemnation. It happens. Sometimes, some of you know what I mean when I say it happens just because we're getting a little older. Have you ever done what I've done? Look on TV and you go, man, that person, they're looking a lot older. And then you look in the mirror and go, do I look like that? And the answer is, yes, I'm looking older. Getting older is not for wimps. Sometimes things happen. But sometimes it's a demonic attack. That we need to stand in the strength of Jesus Christ and send the devil fleeing, because the Bible says when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Thank God, no matter what happens, the scripture tells us in 1 John 2, verse 1, if you're taking notes, write down 1 John 2, verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's your lawyer, and a victorious one at that. Never lost a case. Won the big one, didn't he? He's given us the helmet of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6 is the nucleus of where we are in these messages. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, or actually 10 through 19, honestly. But we've put on, we've learned about, as you go into gracechristiancenter.us, you see the messages, you can listen to them, about a half hour each. We put on the helmet of salvation, which means, what do we have? The mind of Christ. He's got protection for your thoughts. For your mind. And if your mind starts to wander the wrong way, lay hands on your own head and say, what? I've got the mind of Christ. We learned about having the sword of the Spirit. Three lessons on the Word of God. It's His Word, His power, and the offensive weapon He has put into your hand as a believer and soldier in His army is what? This. The Word of God. Now, how many remember the devil quoted Scripture at Jesus? He misapplied the Word of God. And Jesus quoted the Word of God right back to him, rightfully applying the Word of God. And what happened? The devil left him for a season, it says. He had to go. And that's how we have victory with the sword of the Lord as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. We had the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And most often we think that applies to going out and getting peace for people. How many know you, there's no peace for anybody unless they surrender their life to Jesus Christ? So peace is available. Yes, Jesus is wonderful. They get peace through you, they'll get peace. But real peace with God comes when they've repented of their sins and invited Jesus to be their personal Lord and Savior. But this peace is that the warrior in God stands strong because he knows he or she is right with God through the blood of Jesus. You are shod, and we learned about the Roman sandals that have nails and spikes in the bottom of them, gripping the ground so you are solid if something comes to try to take you off track. And then the Bible says, put on the whole armor. Put on the what? Why?
To save.
Why?
To save
yourself.
To establish victory, to stand, to save yourselves. Why? To stand against the wiles and the trickery of the devil. I'm going to quickly give you a few things that are happening, and I want you to carefully listen to the heart. The heart, as we preach the word of truth from the Scripture, sometimes... No, let me say that differently. All the time, the Word of God is contrary to the Word of the world. And there are shifting mores and morals all around. We've redefined, aren't we so smart? We've redefined marriage from God's Word to what man wants to do, whatever's right in man's eyes. But I'm not here to preach about society's ills. We need to bring revival through the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But we need to speak the truth. What does the Bible say? In love. But it says, speak the truth. Here's a prophetic warning for pastors. Don't let, the headline says, don't let this demonic spirit neuter you. And it's the temptations for pastors in America to stop standing in the pulpit declaring truth, but to sell out for popularity. And how many know popularity isn't always set for truth? The popular way is not the truth. But it was a prophetic word that the Lord gave somebody that I think has real application here in present day. Stand strong, church, speaking the truth in love. If there's compromise to the Word of God, there's compromise, and there will not be revival that is spread through both the congregation and nationally and internationally. The calling is clear. Stand on the Word of God. Here's one. Lift up your shields of faith, for the Lord is calling you out. Some of you have gotten in the river and you've become waterlogged. Now there's energy for you to rise up, get to the other side, get up out of the water and walk across it. His shield of faith. Remember, we had a message on the shield of faith. But his shield of faith is given to you in the reality of spiritual warfare. When you were born again, you were born onto a battlefield. Your choice is not whether you want to go to war, for war has been declared against you. The devil and his emissaries want to hinder you from growing in the Lord. But if you're casual, you're comfortable, and don't ever want to grow, just attend church every now and then, you may or may not be too hassled by the devil. He doesn't have to spend time hassling you. You've already given into a comfort zone kind of life, and you're no threat to his kingdom. Now, I'm not speaking to you personally, because I know we're all subject to that every now and then, right? So if I point a sword at you or point a finger at you, guess how many fingers are pointing back at me? So we're all in this together. How many know the temptation is, I want to live comfort zone life? But God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow. So here's another article. Religious persecution is on the rise. Do you realize more than any other century in this history of this world, Christianity is suffering persecution around the world, around the world. I read a large article about China, and you know the underground churches in China is probably the biggest church for Christianity in the world. The crackdown in China right now is literally astounding. There was a time when the cross was able to be on buildings and people were, as long as they registered with the government, it was tolerated, it was okay. But it's not that way now. They are taking down the cross, they're taking down pictures of Jesus and requiring the president of China's picture to be put in the place of Jesus. All across the land, they're tearing down churches. They're jailing people that stand for Jesus. China is a real hotbed. Do you know that since the attack or since the invasion, if you will, in the response to the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, there used to be millions of believers in those nations. And the persecution that has come against Christians has decimated the body of Christ in those nations to where instead of being 30% of the nation, it's now like 5%. Out of millions, it's now a few hundred thousand in some areas or some whole nations. You need to stand in prayer for your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to get to the message, but this is all part of it. And I want you to hear, please, this from Jonathan Kahn. How many know Jonathan Kahn? How many have heard of Generation Z? There's a message online about that. We preached about Generation Z. But remember, the attack in spiritual warfare is first and foremost where? In your mind. What your thoughts? As you believe in your heart, so you live. A recent study in the United Kingdom uncovered a shocking finding. The LGBT agenda has largely succeeded in helping to overturn America's formerly biblical stand on sexuality. Part of its strategy was to change the argument from one of behavior to one of genetics, and thus an issue of human rights. The Bible, though, is very clear. Sexual sin is sin. And there are identified sins in the Bible. But, you know, listen, you don't hear me all the days berating anybody, any group of people. We love everybody, for God so loved the world that he gave. But his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And one sin is just as much sin as another sin. And it's not a big degree of sin. Homosexuality is not a bigger horrendous sin than adultery and fornication in a heterosexual way. Or whatever it may be. God is after changing our lives. The devil is after changing our minds and therefore our behaviors and getting people stuck in the quagmire of shame. So here's the study. Sought to find out how many young people identified as being homosexual, bisexual, or transsexual, how many identified as heterosexual. Please hang in here with me for a few minutes. When the question was asked in 2016, how long ago was that?
2 years.
To people 16 and older, those identifying as lesbian, gay, or bisexual added up to how much? 2% of the population. When the same question was asked to those 16 to 24 years of age, the result was 4%. 2 years ago. So the question was asked again to 16 to 24-year-olds 2 years later in 2018. What was the result? Generation Z, are they identifying as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or other than purely heterosexual? How many before?
Four.
2 to 4%. 2 years later, that number identifying other than heterosexual is 34%. In 2 years. And we love everybody. And we love the kids. We love the young people. We love them. But there has been a lie fostered throughout the world. And the devil is very insidious and very subtle. What do? We speak the truth in love. But you know, there could come a time when, as your pastor, I still am required to speak the truth of the scripture. And I might get arrested for it. I hope not. Thank God we're still in America, where we can preach these things, but it's more difficult than ever. By the way, Supreme Court ruled in favor of a cake baker in Colorado just a little while ago, that he had his religious rights trounced upon when he simply answered, "No, I'm sorry, I can't bake that cake. It's part of my art, of artistry. I can't bake that cake for a homosexual wedding. Here's other places you can go to. I can do this or that for you." But they took it all the way to the Supreme Court because he was guilty. Nearly destroyed his life defending himself. And he was found by the Supreme Court. That was overturned, and they found that his rights were abused. Do you know the same day that that was announced, they went after him again because somebody else who obviously is a tester said, "We want you to bake a transgenderism cake for us." And he said, "I'm sorry, I can't do that. Here's other cakes I can do. Here's other things I can do. But this one is," and he's heading back into court again. So it's not a meaningless issue, guys. More than 1 in 3 now declare they are something other than heterosexual. The change in cultural values that is most dramatically affecting the most impressionable youngest generation. Relationships are increasingly accepted, and it's caused young people to adopt what they call a less binary view of sexuality. More than half of British young people buy into this. The changing of society's morality has affected and altered the identity of an entire generation. If more than 1 of 3 in the next generation doesn't view itself as purely heterosexual, how do you think that's going to impact culture? We are in, Jonathan Cahn went on to say, clearly in the last days. Now, did I say any of that in a spirit of fear? Absolutely not. But we have to have our eyes open to the need to rise up with the truth and love people enough to help them know, here's what the Bible according to God says. This is what God says. You want to be right with God? Come. Come give your life to Him. And you don't go out preaching stuff to people for their life. You give them Jesus. And how many found that when you gave your life to Jesus, He started changing all the stuff? But we got to love them enough. See the need. All right, what's the devil's work? What's the devil's work? Hang in there with me this morning. It may take a few extra minutes, but it's important. Revelation 12, 9 through 11. The great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser," what is it? "The accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." What does it say now? Please read it with me. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." The devil deceives. He's cast into the earth where people live. And he accuses. Ever been walking down the street all of a sudden totally ashamed for what you did? And no, we'll put it this way. Back in 1942, nothing this week, but back a long time ago, but have something stupid that you feel guilty or shameful for, and he's accusing constantly. But how do they overcome him? The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and not loving our lives to the death. Watch John 8, 44 and 45. You are of your father, the devil. Jesus was not just peace and love and sweetness. He was confronting the religious hypocrites. You're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a what?
Murderer
from the beginning. And does not stand in the truth because there is, say it with me, no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a what? A liar. And the father of it, the devil wants you to be twisted into lying or into believing a lie. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. John 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But what does Jesus say? Please read it out, boom it out with me. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What is Jesus for?
Life.
What's the devil for? Chaos, confusion, every evil work. Now, one of the greatest deceptions that the devil does twist upon people is that he doesn't exist and he's not real. Because if he's not real, there's nothing to fight. There's no reason to be trained, to become mature in the Lord, to be strong as a soldier in Christ. Deception is one of his main tools. People don't believe he exists, so they don't need to hassle it. So he just deceives, confuses, and twists unhindered people's lives. Spiritual warriors are praying people who bind and rebuke the devil, cast him out, and set people free. Amen? People need to be set free from chains of darkness. All right, what is the spiritual warrior's responsibility? Hey guys, what's our responsibility? We stand together in prayer. We stand together growing in Jesus. We mature to be more like him. We want to think like him, walk like him, and walk in his grace and his power. And we want to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We want to set people free in Jesus' name. We pray, we believe. We believe revival's coming. Amen?
Yeah.
Healing, released from confusion and darkness, and see people flood to Jesus. Joy being released in his presence. Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, Jesus says, if I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. Hey guys, we grow and keep growing. We read his word and keep reading his word. We share his word together and we keep it and we believe it and we pray together and we believe God wants to do. If he asks anything, the scripture says, according to his will, he hears us and we have the petitions we require of him. That's what the Bible says. Now, the Bible says that his fivefold ministry works with the body of Christ to help them be trained and mature. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There's a vital role for the ministry and for the church. Ephesians 4, 13 and 14. Why? What are they doing? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I want you to really get these verses, and I'm going to read one out of the message. Incredible. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. How many of you would like to be a 60-year-old baby, infant? Well, no, I said like to be. So I want to be taken care of like that. No, but that's not right, is it? We want to have the maturity of being fully grown adults. Watch what it says out of the message in verse 14. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who were an easy mark for imposters. You hear Paul's heart trying to say, church, it's our responsibility to grow up, be strong. Why? To put on the armor of God, to stand against the trickery of the devil, and to release people from captivity. Gifted people, called people, minister till the church comes to their full destination. That's what the Greek means. The Greek in that, coming to full maturity, is a picture of travelers who finally reach their destination. And that's how it is. We're coming to maturity. We're reaching the destination. What is the goal? The unity of the faith, the full knowledge of the Son of God, being mature in Him, not being immature infants, easily swayed and confused, like waves tossed back and forth, blown about by the devil. How do we do that? How do we do that? Through the blood of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through standing strong, being in church. How many know church is important?
Yes.
You're the church, not a building, but the church of Jesus is important.
Yes.
Oh, I like Jesus as his people I can't stand. Sometimes people have been hurt, and we understand those kinds of things, and you pray, God, help them overcome that hurt. Let's find our way back to the family of God, because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, don't deny the gathering together of the saints, as they do, but so much more as the day approaches of his returning, gather together in the Lord. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13 is a context, but let me just read this out of the Passion. If you write that reference down, read it out of your New King James, but I use these other verses from translations to help us see the emphasis sometimes. Passion says, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us, so that you'll be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. Now that's why, you see, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's why it's wrong, misdirected anger to be sitting yelling at the TV set. Kevin? But sometimes we do, and we get angry at people for the things they say and do. Hey, you know, even when, I'm sure you've experienced what I've experienced, sometimes somebody just out of the blue comes up and takes your head off on something. You might not even have been the guilty party. You might not have had anything to do. I'm sorry. I was in Texas last week. It wasn't me. But you know, what's happened is many times that person has become subject to a demonic spirit. You go, really? Yeah, really. And you just need to love them in spite of that. And under your breath, I just take authority over that in Jesus' name. But it's not flesh and blood. But the Bible says against principalities and powers that we do warfare. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Come on, Kev, this is old-fashioned stuff. Hey, listen, you find yourself going to other nations around the planet where they aren't just in a Western rational mindset. They see God move powerfully in revival, and they see people set free from demon spirits that control them. But we don't want to believe in those things in America. It's not always a demonic spirit, okay? There's not always a demonic spirit. Sometimes people are ill and have issues and things happen. I'm not trying to get you to go out of here going, man, I'm casting demons out of every bush I come to. No, it's not that. It's not that. But don't be afraid to do spiritual warfare when you know the Holy Spirit checks your spirit and there's something clearly awry. You take authority over that in Jesus' name. Because of this, you must wear all the armor God has provided, so you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you're destined for all things and will rise what?
Victorious.
You'll rise victorious. The scripture says you stand against the wiles of the devil. Why are we doing this? To stand against his wiles. In the Greek, that means schemes and methods. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let's talk for a moment about the devil's team. There is a battle to be fought. The battle is being fought on spiritual lines. We've got to be careful, because the church is oftentimes the place where the battle takes place. Now, hear me. We have stood very strongly in this congregation, very strongly, as you will recall, against backbiting and gossip and what often happens in churches. It doesn't mean nobody ever has a problem with somebody. You might have a problem with me. Don't all come at once. But if it happens, what does the Bible say? You just take care of it. You go one-on-one to the person you have the difficulty with. It is unbiblical. It is opening the door to a demonic spirit and the devil's division to go over here and say, you know, buddy, I got real problems with Margie. Don't you know that? And I can't believe what she said. Did you hear that praise report this morning? My goodness, she praised God. Can you believe that? I can't believe that. But you see, oftentimes in the body of Christ, that's what happens. And church divisions come. And it is anathema. It is ungodly. It is wicked. It's sin. And it needs to be stopped. And if somebody comes to you to gossip about me or anybody, you know the best thing you can do? You know what you should do? Let's rehearse it. You stick your finger in your ears and say, I'm sorry, I can't hear that. I'm sorry, I'm not listening to that. I know Pastor Kev ain't perfect, but go see him. You don't even have to say that other part. I'm praying for Pastor Kev to be perfect. Go see him. Don't listen to it. Don't open the door to the wrong spirit that brings division. Pastor Kev, you can't tell me demons caused that. You bet they do. And it destroys people's lives, and people are hurt. It hurts the cause of Christ. We're to be a beacon of light, a lighthouse for people to come and go, oh, that's what family's like. Oh, wow, you know, I might never go back to that church again, but you know what? They really loved each other there. Bring people to Jesus. Too often in the body of Christ, the wounded who are hurt further because of a wrong spirit that judges or divides. People who are addicted need grace and time and help. And people who are addicted will fall many times, a second time, a third time, or again. And we're not to be the ones sitting up here going, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't run with those who do. No, we need to have a spirit of grace where we say, you know, okay. How many times did Jesus say to forgive somebody? Robert Morris said this morning. I don't know if you watch Robert Morris. It was pretty funny. He says, you know, the disciples were talking to Jesus about forgiveness, and he says, Lord, how many times do we have to forgive? Seven times. Somebody coming back to you seven times in one day for the same problem, that's a big deal. And Jesus goes, oh, no. And can you imagine the disciples at that point probably, oh, man, thank God. You know, he says, no, 70 times seven. Oh, and you know what they said? We need more faith. But we stand together. We stand together against the devil. Instead of being divided, husbands, wives, when a problem happens, and problems happen, when you start warring together, you're jumping onto the devil's team, not God's. You need to understand that that problem that is trying to divide you is something you two need to stand together to war against. Don't let it divide you. War against it together. The devil has demonic spirits. Principalities are the demons, typically, who have oversight over nations, and you better believe they do. Corresponding, possibly, to the rank of generals, J. Vernon McGee said. Powers are the privates who are the demons who want to possess human beings. The rulers of darkness of this world are demons who have charge of Satan's worldly business, spiritual wickedness in high places, the demons in heavenlies who have charge of religion. Boy, Pastor Kev, are you trying to just fill me with terror? There's demons everywhere. Hey, guess what? There's angels everywhere.
Yes.
Guess what? Jesus won. Now, if you belong to Jesus and you're covered by the blood of the Lamb, you put on your warfare armor and you stand strong and you've got the mind of Christ and you stand in His victory. If you don't know the Lord, come give your life to Jesus and you'll find He takes that weight off your shoulders, that confusion, that torment in your soul is brought on by the devil. And Jesus wants to set you free. They're real. It's powerful. It's not fantasy. We face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat the Church of Jesus Christ. When we believe in Christ, Pat, we're on to the next point. When we believe in Christ, the satanic beings become our enemies and they try every device to turn us away from Him and back to sin. That's why sometimes people have real struggles. Okay, what are we to do? What are we to do? What are we to do? Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Understand that there is a battle. Fight against it. Stand in Jesus. Stand together and do warfare by His grace and stand. Having done all, stand. Put on the whole armor. Number two, proclaim the truth of God's word. Number three, that's why you need, by the way, word in,
word out.
That's why you read the Word, study the Word, come and hear it taught and preached so you know the Word and reread it afterwards and read it and stay in the Word of God so you can proclaim the truth. Number three, proclaim the power of the blood of Jesus. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I was talking to somebody a week or so ago and they were talking about the dreams that are coming against him and things that are happening and turmoil. And I said, one phrase, if you don't get anything else out of our whole time together, hold on to one phrase. I have the power of the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. If you need to go through your home and lay hands on the mantle and put oil on the mantle and proclaim the Holy Spirit throughout your house and the blood of Jesus throughout your home, do it. Do it. Proclaim the blood of Jesus. Be practical about it. There's real things you can do. What do we do? And number four, proclaim His name. We proclaim the name of the Lord. There was the 10th century, I believe, or 11th century, one of the greatest warriors China ever had, who wrote The Art of War, was Sun Tzu. And he said this, "The way to win a war is to defeat the enemy in his mind before you have to fight him." And that's where the rubber hits the road. If you don't put on the whole armor of God, if you think there's no battle, if you think there's nothing to stand for and no reason to, that the devil isn't real, then the devil has already won. So get rid of the devil, make no room. The Bible says, give no room, give no place to the devil. Get him out of there in Jesus' name. And again, I'm not sending you out the door today to be devil conscious, but to be aware as strong soldiers of the Lord. That there is a battle, that He has won, and we stand strong to wage victory. The name of this message is Establish the Victory. Amen. Establish the Victory. I have two final thoughts for you. Number one, don't fear. No fear. Devil brings fear, torment, and terror. He's a defeated foe. I said the devil is defeated. Jesus defeated the devil. I said, Jesus defeated the devil.
Amen.
You're under the blood of Jesus as a believer, protected by His name, armored up, standing in His power. And number two, remember the Bible says, greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. All I've tried to do today is help you be aware that there are things that come against your soul. And that discouragement or that attack, that affliction, It might be time to stand up and do warfare, call somebody, say, hey, pray for me. I'm helping you be aware that the battle is real, but that Jesus is won, and we stand strong in the armor of God. You are of God, little children, verse 4 of 1 John 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. No fear, but rise up in strength, and let's establish the victory. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand before the Lord, shall we? If you'll all stand, now I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Don't fall over. I want you to stand. And with every eye closed, there are some in this room who are in a lot more turmoil than you want others to think. There are some of you who are fighting real battles. And there's condemnation and shame that goes with it. Maybe you haven't wanted to tell anybody. But there's shame with it. With every eye closed, some of you possibly have given in to pornography or different things that have opened a wrong door. And you want to get rid of it. Some of you are harassed physically every time you turn around. Some of you are constantly in warfare with wrong thoughts coming against you. Jesus wants you to be set free this morning. Now, what I'd like you to do, with every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand if you know you're in turmoil and in battle this morning and you need some victory. I see the hands. I see them. Go ahead and put them up. There's no shame. Keep your eyes closed, gang, but put your hands up if you know you need victory in the Lord. Yeah, God knows exactly what he's doing this morning. Raise your hands, everybody in the church, would you? God has a message here this morning for you. You are free in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, we come through the blood of Jesus. Right now, we come as the body of Christ. And devil, you are a defeated foe. And we command you to get out in Jesus' name. And stand with me and pray together with me. Right now, Jesus, I close the door to every demonic spirit. I curse the wicked spirit that comes to cause turmoil, that causes confusion, fear, and doubt. I stand against it now in Jesus' name. Right now by faith, I receive healing. I receive my miracle today. Right now in Jesus' name. Now, devil, you are completely defeated. The blood of Jesus has wiped you out. The resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has sent you fleeing. You are a defeated foe. Get out in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for victory in the Lord. We thank you for the victory and the power of Jesus. Lord, I pray for your people as we go from this place today. We go knowing that we have the victory in Jesus' name. Lord, we leave this place today knowing that you are in complete control. You're the God who does all things well. And we worship you, Lord, and we give you the praise and the thanks. And all the people said,
amen.
Musicians, will you come? And we're going to finish with that song we just taught you, because as we leave this place, we're going to continue to proclaim the name of the Lord. How many have been met by Jesus this morning? I'm glad you are here. I'm glad I was here. I wouldn't want to miss this morning. God is good, isn't he? Lord, we thank you that today we get to celebrate in your presence. Thank you for your cleansing blood that cleanses us, that washes us, that empowers us. Thank you, Lord, that today we have established in our lives your victory more than ever. And we go with joy and thanksgiving, Lord, because you are so great. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Raise your hands for the blessing, if you would, please. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. If you're guests with us this morning, we are so thankful that you've been here. We welcome you back, and we'll celebrate together again this coming Sunday morning. God bless you. Be released in the joy of the Lord.
Amen.